Welcome back. Om Jnana Dmirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutala Swayam Rupa Pada Nayam Dathati Vande Hang Shri Guru Shri Shri Rupam Sagrasatam Sagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sagita Sadvaitam Sabhatutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitam Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Deen Bandhavirakshate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mansha Kolpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Satita Nam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurava Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 So we began yesterday talking about Dhruv Maharaj who was the son of King Uttanapada, grandson of Swayambhuva Manu, who Dhruva was insulted by his stepmother and was advised by his own mother that the best thing to do would be to search out the personality of Godhead, because only he could help Dhruva attain the fulfillment of his ambitions. So Dhruva Maharaj, with great determination, left the palace and was fortunate enough to meet Nard Muni, who gave him good instructions that better to go back home and not try this very difficult, arduous process of austerity. But Dhruva Maharaj refused. Why? Why?
Because he was single-minded in purpose.
Yeah, he was single-minded in purpose. What else? Yeah, it came from the Kshatriya family, which means? And? Any? Tolerate? Insults, yes. Any insult to his prestige, Kshatriya won't tolerate. So Nard Muni was testing him to see how serious this boy was. He found, yes, this boy is quite serious. And Dhruva Maharaj frankly told him what he wanted to achieve. What was that? A kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. Who's his great-grandfather? Brahma. So he's become very ambitious, not only forget sitting on the lap of the king, I want a kingdom better than Brahma's, my great-grandfather's kingdom, better than any kingdom in the three worlds. So if you have an honest path that I can follow to achieve that, then please let me know. Interesting, he says, an honest path, sadhuvartma, not by hook or by crook, not by the old British historical method. If you ever studied British history, it's astonishing how many... Anyway, we won't get into British history today. So he praises Narad Muni that you, just as the sun rotates throughout the entire universe, you travel everywhere with your Veena to benefit everyone. And in essence, he said, I'm determined. Please help me out. Yeah, there's a lot of mosquitoes here, I think, because of those pools, which are very nice and decorative. And Anukul for the mosquitoes, favorable for their engagement. So, Narad Muni says that the instruction you got from your mother was actually right. Actually, it started with his stepmother. His stepmother said, if you want to attain your ambition, then you need the help of the personality of Godhead so that you can take birth as my son. So his mother said, yes, actually, it requires the mercy of the Lord. And Narad Muni now confirms that, yes, it's your ambition is possible to fulfill only by the mercy of Krishna. And there's a comment here that Narad Muni could have done it, could have fulfilled his desire, because he's referred to here as Bhagavan. He's also powerful like the Lord. But Prabhupada said it wasn't his duty. His duty was to train Dhruva Maharaj in devotional service. And yes, not to himself. Yes, whatever you want, grant benedictions. Then, Narad Muni gives more instructions that if you want the results of dharmartha kama moksha, religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, then you should go to the personality of Godhead. Not to the demigods, but to Krishna. And you'll get everything. A particular point is that Narad Muni's saying, well, even if you have material desires, then the way to get them fulfilled is by the mercy of the Lord. We were hearing this morning that Narad Muni had some material desire. So rather than approach anyone else, he approached Krishna. I have this desire. Please help me out. He performed some austerities, prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said yes. So Dhruva Maharaj is being advised in a similar way. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dadati. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Yajeta purusham padam. Whether one is full of desires, free from desires, whether or desires liberation, one should, if he's udaradhi, if he's intelligent, if he has broader intelligence, he should engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So then, where does Narad Muni send him? Madhuvan. Madhuvan Forest, one of the Vrindavan forests. And Prabhupada has an extended discussion here on the benefits of holy places. How by the influence of these spiritual places, one can perform devotional service very nicely. He mentions four dhammas. What are those four places? Puri, Rameshwaram, Badrinath, and Dwarka. These are called Chardhams. They're situated roughly north, south, east, and west. And people still go on Chardham Yatra. They go traveling to these four holy places, and if they can visit these four holy places, they consider their life very successful. And it's a fact that if one performs especially devotional activities in these four places, any one of these four places, or any of the many holy places associated with the Lord, one can make substantial advancement. Of the five items in principal items of sadhana bhakti, what are the top five?
Always mix them up no matter what order you start them in.
Yes. Yes, that's one. Sadhu Sangha, then worship of the deity. Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, and residing in a sacred place. Especially, particularly, Vrindavan is the topmost holy place. And Narad Muni sent Dhruva Maharaj to Vrindavan, or Maruvan, one of the Vrindavan forests. And the place is still there, Dhruvakas, where Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerities. And Prabhupada mentions that this is for a devotee to help him in performing devotional service, but someone like Narad Muni, or an advanced devotee, can go everywhere and teach Krishna consciousness. So then he's told, take advantage of the place, take three baths every day in the sacred water of the Jamuna, and follow the principles of Ashtanga Yoga. The Ashtanga Yoga system is described in the Bhagavad Gita in the sixth chapter, in brief. What are the rules and regulations of the Ashtanga Yoga system? So that will be summarized very briefly here, how Dhruva Maharaj undertakes the Ashtanga Yoga. In fact, here it is. Sit on the seat, perform the pranayama, breathing exercises, get control of the life air in that way, control the mind and senses, get free from material contamination, and finally, fix the mind. Manasa guruna gurum. Fix the mind on the personality of Godhead. Guru, the supreme guru, the personality of Godhead. Much chitta. Manasam yamya much chitta. Krishna, while describing the yoga system, he said, do this and do this and do this. Finally, fix your mind on me. Yoga sutta matpadaha. Make me the goal. People perform yoga and they miss the whole point. And right there in the summary in the Bhagavad Gita, it's there. Matpada, fix your mind on me, make me the goal of life. And in the present age, how do we do it? 20 extra points for this time. How do you do it? Chant Hare Krishna. Okay. Now, the Narad Muni describes the form of the Lord. And there's a very pleasing description of the Lord's features, his beautiful posture, his face, his eyes, all of his, or some of his, very gorgeous personal bodily features. Why does Narad Muni describe all this? Why? Huh? So I can pick Krishna out of a crowd? Any other reasons? Yes? Yeah, so he can meditate. So he'll be attracted. When you hear this description, it's very attractive. The mind becomes attracted to the form of the Lord, and one can make that form the object of one's meditation. Prabhupada's point of stress here is that the meditation should not be impersonal. There is impersonal meditation, but of the two kinds, personal and impersonal, the personal is more recommended. Where? Is that question explicitly answered? This is the Bhakti Bhai Bhav, right? So you did your Bhakti Shastri. Where is this specifically? Everyone should be. Yeah, between the impersonal and personal paths of meditation, the personal is more recommended, and explicitly where? In the Bhagavad Gita. Wrong answer. There's really only one right answer for this. Ishopanishad? No, it's Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna says that if one thinks that from the avyakta.
Oh, I thought you knew. Man, you got it so wrong. Okay. Bhakti Bhai Bhav's finished. You all go back to Bhakti Shastri. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 12th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. It's the whole point of the chapter, or it's certainly the opening lead question. Evam satata yukta ye bhaktas tvam paryapasate yach chap yakshram avyaktam tesham te yoga vittamaha. Of those who are constantly engaged in your devotional service and those who are engaged in the unmanifest impersonal absolute, tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Which one's best? That's the question, yes? And Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Veshamano Yemam Mityuktu Pasate, Shantaya Pariyopetas, Teme Yukta Tamamataha. Those who are engaged always in fixing their minds on me and engaging in my service with great faith, they're the best. So it's an open and shut question. It's not, could it be here, could it be there, isn't it implied by this? It's straight out. Open and shut question. Which is better? Devotee is better. The one who follows the devotional path, he's the better yogi. He's the best yogi. You're in the sun. Would you rather be?
It's okay. I think I just moved a little bit over.
Yeah, I mentioned before you came that anyone who wants to move at any time as the sun moves, feel free. There's space over here. I think whoever sets up might want to set me up a little back. That way you could be up a little front and you'll have more room in which to maneuver. In fact, let's just move this back. That's good.
Right.
Yeah, that's fine. We have all this space back here, so then that gives you a little... Okay. It is nicer out here, but it's nicer in the shade. And then later, in the winter it becomes nicer in the sun. So those who engaged in the devotional service of the Lord are following the recommended path, and Krishna directly says, "Kesho dikatraste sham avyakta sakta cetasam." Those who are engaging in the following the impersonal path have a rough time. Kesho adikatra, lots of trouble, lots and lots of trouble, troublesome path. So Narad Muni doesn't recommend that Dhruva Maharaj try to fix his mind on anything impersonal. He's very explicit. The personality of Godhead is the target, and his eyes are like this, and his forehead is like that, and the limbs of his body are like this, and his lips are like that. Everything is described so that Dhruva Maharaj can have a clear picture in his mind for meditation. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that this picture is not something concocted or imagined. This is described in Shastra. And he mentions also that this applies to the pictures painted by the devotees under proper direction. They're also not engaged in imagination, imagining something, but they're following the authorized descriptions so that Krishna's form appears and the devotee can meditate on this transcendental form manifest in the picture. So this personality of Godhead is ready to give shelter to the surrendered soul. The impersonal Brahma just won't do it. More description. He's got the Srivats mark. He's got the dark blue complexion. He has the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, and he's Purusha. Yesterday we were gender neutral, that okay, he, she. Today we're gender specific. The personality of Godhead, Prabhupada remarks, is Purusha, male. And the living entities are Prakriti or female. So perhaps Prabhupada, at least he anticipates what in some religious cultures is a big argument. Is God male? Is God female? Is God both? They generally have a sort of nebulous conception anyway. There's no particular, it's just all up in the air. So, well, I think God could be described as she or he or one of those mongrel pronouns or whatever it is. They have no definite idea. So they just imagine something or philosophize something. But here, the Shastra is quite specific, and Prabhupada makes a point of it, that the Lord Adyam Purana Purusha, he's a person, and specifically Purusha means a male person. But not male or female of this material world. That's a whole different thing. Any questions so far? No, I'll take this down to the end of the description. His clothing is described, his bright yellow cloth and his jeweled ornaments, the Kaustubha gem, little golden ankle bells, little bells around his waist, and a very pleasing, calm, and quiet nature. So this is the form that the yogi is advised to meditate on, standing Trit Padma Karnika Tishnyam, situated on the whirl of the lotus of one's heart. The yogi is advised to see the Lord that way. I think our painting is there also of the Lord in the heart, standing on such a lotus flower. That's the object of the devotee's meditation. Any questions so far? Yes? Yeah, sometimes he appears in female form, like Mohini Murti, but that's kind of like a man dressing up as a woman. It's not the real thing. He's constitutionally male, but for a particular purpose, he disguised himself as female or showed up in a female form, but still he's male. Yes. What can you do to so that we see the murti spiritually and not as an ordinary form? Seva mukhehi jivado swayameva spuratyalaha. It's by seva. The Lord cannot be seen by the blunt senses. Atashri Krishna namadi nabhaved grayam indriya. The senses are gross. So just by our sensory inspection, our eye exercises, Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Saraswati Thakura uses, not just by eye exercises that we can see the deity, it's by service. We don't have the power to see Krishna, therefore don't try to see Krishna, but try to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Svayam eva spuratyadaha. When he so desires, he reveals himself. How is that? Seva mukha, by service. Beginning with the tongue. Here, especially in Mayapur, the service is kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. So there, in previous ages, there was deity worship. Here, even in Satyuga, we'll find that Guru Maharaj is advised to worship a deity. And still the deity worship is there. But our deity worship in this age is mainly by chanting. The most important thing for worshiping the deity is chanting. Not big rituals and so many things. That was in previous age. Dwapara Parichayaya. In the Dwapara Yuga, the temple worship was there, big rituals and so on. Still in South India we see to some extent. But in Kali Yuga, the ecstatic chanting of the holy name, that's the most important thing. And along with that, the shringar, the cooking for the deity, doing so many different kinds, cleaning, cooking, dressing, all of these services, or distributing books for the deities, the whole temple activities and preaching activities are all done for the deity, for Krishna. The book distributors, the cooks, the preachers, the pujaris, everyone is engaged in the service of the deity, and by that service we see the deity. Krishna becomes pleased. He'll show himself. It's not just by looking in a particular way that we can see Krishna. But when Krishna is pleased, he manifests himself. He manifests himself, and then we can see him. Is that okay? Something else?
Somebody might
No, he's saying Ashtanga Yoga. Dhruva Maharshi did Ashtanga Yoga. Prabhupada represents it faithfully. Dhruva Maharshi was advised to do Ashtanga Yoga. He did Ashtanga Yoga. But can you do Ashtanga Yoga? That's the question. Can you do it? That's the point. Even Arjuna said, can't do it. Chanchala himana krishna pramati balabad dhrinam tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva sudhushka. Mind is so restless and unsteady, I can't do this. So, when even Arjuna couldn't do it, what are we going to do? We'll make a show, we'll sit down in a yoga studio someplace and we'll do some meditation for half an hour, an hour. We'll pay some money and we'll go. But that's not what we find here. Even brahmachari vritaye svataha. That's one of the rules. You have to be brahmachari. Who's going to be brahmachari in Kali Yuga? As soon as we say to them, yes, we have yoga. They have all these branded yogas, you know, this yoga and that yoga. They brand it and sell it. But if your brand is that you first become brahmachari and then you practice our yoga, you know, you have three students. All of them over the age of 80. People aren't prepared to undergo even the basic thing. First thing is Sujo Deshe. You have to go to a pure place. Just like Dhruva Maharshi, he was sent. You go to Madhuvan and you bathe in the Jamuna, you do all of these things in that sacred place. So what do they say? They print their address, you know, 34th Street, Manhattan. Shucho Deshe? Is that a purified place or something? Take the D train to, you know, forget it. So the people aren't prepared to even do ABC. Shucho Deshe Pratishtapya Sthiram Asana Matana. They won't even get to first base. Some few people maybe will actually go to the Himalayas or actually go to some sacred place to practice yoga. And then out of them, how many will actually be brahmachari? Out of them, how many will put their feet not too high, not too low, with kusha and deerskin and so on? And then to actually practice the breathing exercises and the all of this, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? It's a mechanical kind of system, and it depends on getting the mechanics right. It's like a rocket launch. You have to have the right weather, you have to have the right proportion of this fuel to that fuel, you have to have all the systems of the spacecraft, of the rocket, all properly adjusted. All of your navigation systems have to be checked, and then you have to do everything. And if everything's really right, then your rocket takes off and it goes into the proper trajectory and it becomes a tremendous success and all of that. Otherwise, bad weather, they cancel the launch. There was a screw loose in assembly number 56, so they canceled the launch. Or there was a loose gasket someplace and the rocket blew up. Or whatever it is. It depends on having all your material circumstances exactly right, then your launch can be successful. So it's a similar thing here. You have to stop up the holes in the body. There's a Brahmarandra and the other different circles where the life air can literally burst out, and if it bursts out through the wrong place, you're totally off course, you go in the wrong direction. You have to seal up all the other places where the prana can escape, and then you have to focus it so it leaves, and it's got to be the right time. That's mentioned in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Shanma Sha Uttarayanam. It has to be in 6 months when the sun is on the northern course. It has to be in that way. They're different. It can't be while the sun is in the Dakshinayana, the southern course. So many things have to be exactly right. Then, otherwise you come back. Yogi Prapti Nivart. So, with all of that, are you really going to do this, sister? Maybe, Prabhupada said, maybe someone will do it. But in terms of general practice, it's out of the question. And that also, even if they do it, they're meditating on something impersonal, which is not recommended. Mat citto, mat padaha. Krishna says, think of me. They don't do that. So what are they doing? They lose some weight. They feel strong, they feel healthy, so that they can enjoy sense gratification. Something else. Okay. Smayamanam abhidhyayet sanuragavalokanam yatenaikaputena manasa Vardarshabham. Vardarshabham. The Lord is the Varada, the giver of benedictions. He's the best giver of benedictions. So any benediction that you might want, that's available from Krishna. And here Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that, first of all, we should meditate according to Shastra, not make something up. Everything should be authorized. Ye Shastra Vidimutra Bhartte Kamakarata. Not the Siddhimakarata. Not manufacturers. And the other thing he mentions is great concentration. One should fully concentrate on the transcendental form of the Lord. The deity worship in particular is very good for that. The devotee, I was seeing the other day, I think Pankajangri was there after the Darshanarti, and he was, you know, standing back and seeing the deities, Panchatattva, and you know, he's inspecting practically, you know, is the crown right? Is the Uttariya right? Is everything right? Is everything done properly? Is it? So he's focused in that way on the form of the deity. Everything should be done very nicely for the service of the deity, while cooking for the deity, while arranging the altar, while seeing to the flowers. So in this way, the form of the deity becomes imprinted in one's mind. Or by Ashtanga Yoga, the same result should be aspired for. That's the idea. Not something impersonal. Then Narad Muni says further, and it's very clear here in Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again, that it's meditation on the personal form of the Lord, and this is actually samadhi. This is actually samadhi, to be focused in meditation on the Lord's auspicious form. And in this way, one becomes freed from all material contamination. Again, here Srila Prabhupada mentions the deity worship. The difference between the deity worship and the Ashtanga Yoga, one difference is that the Ashtanga Yogi can see the Lord by meditation, and the devotee can see the Lord in the temple. The same Lord is visible, but the yogi, he's so accomplished that he can sit anywhere and see the Lord. And the devotee, he has to go to the temple to see the Lord. But it's easy. You can go, you can see. And the yogi, he has to go through so much arduous discipline to fix the mind in such a way that he can discover the transcendental form of the Lord, or see the transcendental form of the Lord in his heart. So the deity worship provides an easy means for the devotee to accomplish the same objective of seeing the transcendental form of the Lord. And the Lord should be decorated as described here very beautifully, nice garlands and yellow dress and everything according to the description. No mental concoction. Prabhupada was very particular about that, that nothing concocted should be introduced into the deity worship. We don't make progress that way. But by following the authorized direction, everything very clean, everything very pure, and everything done with great devotion, that's how we make progress. Any questions? Yes. Yes. It means always you have to concentrate. If you stop concentrating, it doesn't mean I concentrated for 5 minutes. Okay, you know, I've got a guarantee I'll never fall down. I concentrated for 10 minutes on the form of Gornatai and now I'm set. It means if you're always focused, Yaha Krishna Tahamaya Nahyadika. If your mind is always fixed on Krishna, there's no room for Maya. Where there's Krishna, Maya can't stand. So, that only, fix the mind on Krishna. It's not impersonal that we try to abstract the mind from all thought. From that we'll fall down, because thought will come back. You try to drive out thought, the thought drives back in. The emptiness is not, what is that? Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature doesn't like empty space. So if you try to empty out the mind, then there's a nice empty space and Maya will fill it. But if you fill the mind with Krishna, then there's no space there for Maya to enter. Say again. The birds are drowning you out. If we have material desires, we should focus on Krishna. Then what was the rest? Yeah, if we approach Krishna for the fulfillment of our material desires, that's recommended. He'll do the needful. People are trying to do so many things to fulfill their material desires. They're inventing so many things for fulfillment of their material desires. Clubs and sports and internet stuff. And this and that, and every kind of madness to try to fulfill their material desires. And what happens? Their material desires are not fulfilled. And they try to arrange by one way or another. They, you know, they work hard and they get money and they get a wife from Thailand, but, or, you know, they get all this kind of stuff. And then somehow or other it won't work because material nature doesn't allow us to be happy by material endeavors. You get some happiness, but it fails. But if one engages in the service of Krishna, then as far as possible, our material desires will be set. And finally, we get to the higher platform where the real satisfaction of desires is achieved. So, if one actually wants to satisfy one's desires, one should engage in the service of Krishna. And if one goes to the other way, that I'll satisfy my desires. He'll become more and more dissatisfied. And that's how they're becoming, more and more dissatisfied. You just try to satisfy Krishna, your desires will be. They're making it harder than it needs to be. Why? Because they don't want to surrender to Krishna. Don't want to surrender. Like you ask a kid to do something, he's not going to do it. He's going to go some other way, you know, because you told him to go straight, he'll find some crooked way to go do it. And instead of taking 15 minutes, it will take 5 hours. But he did it his way, and he showed you. So in that way, if we think that we'll do it our own way, and then we'll be frustrated. And if we simply accept, yes, Krishna, whatever you have arranged, then we'll be okay. Yeah? Something else, yes? Can one chant and at the same time focus on the form of the Lord? The mantra is the form of the Lord. I think that's mentioned later, mantra murtiye. The Lord is the mantra. So by chanting, by focusing on the sound of the mantra, we're focusing on the Lord, and the form of the Lord will automatically become manifest. Prabhupada doesn't recommend that while chanting, we separately try to picture something or imagine something. Sometimes we hear that, not just picture Krishna, you know, speaking to you or standing there or this or that. None of this is recommended. We recommend just here. Just here. Focus on the sound vibration and everything will be manifest. The form, the qualities, the pastimes, they're all there. It's not that we have to drive it out. Oh no, I thought of a pastime. I'm supposed to be hearing. If you think of some pastime while you're chanting, but it's not that this is the practice. Practice is to focus on the sound. Is that okay? Simple thing. And in fact, that's exactly what's coming up next. Narad Muni says, now I'm going to give you a mantra, which you should chant with this meditational process. And within 7 nights, you'll see the siddhas, the perfected beings, flying in the sky. That's not the goal, of course, but you will see that. And in fact, attain perfection by this chanting. The chanting, Prabhupada mentions, is very confidential, and still it's disclosed here, but it will not have effect unless we receive it through the parampara system. Sampradaya vihina ye, mantraste nishpala mata. Unless we receive our mantra through the sampradaya system, we won't get the result. In answer to your question, Prabhupada says, as soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the form of Krishna, Ram, and their energies, and that is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna, but when the chanting is performed defenselessly, the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the chanter. The chanter, therefore, has to concentrate on hearing the vibration, and without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear. It's the same as the answer to your question, how to see the deity. Don't try to do some sort of special theme so that Krishna appears. You just serve the deity with sincerity according to the instructions given by the spiritual master, and he'll reveal himself to you. So the same thing here in the chanting. The chanting should be performed offenselessly. We should try to avoid the 10 offenses while chanting the holy name of the Lord. And as the mind becomes purified and we reach the offenseless stage, Krishna will appear automatically. Krishna, he's there. He's not different from the mantra. But it's, you can't artificially, just like they try to artificially ripen these fruits, and either it doesn't work or you get some tasteless, it looks ripe, it looks like a really nice ripe papaya and it tastes like cardboard. It's just not the right thing because they use carbonate gas or something, and it's just not the same as the actual papaya that ripens on the tree and tastes so nice. So if you try to artificially see the form of the Lord, you won't get the result. You have to become mature in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And mature means not how many years, but by avoiding the offenses. By avoiding the offenses, we come to that stage where Krishna will be pleased to reveal himself. Okay? Yes? Yeah, that's also. You'll see, you can sit in front of the Lord and chant Hare Krishna. But sometimes people think that they're supposed to chant, they should have the mantra in front of them, or they should have a picture in front of them and stare at the picture. That also probably is not recommended. But the deity is there, you sit before the deity, you see, you chant, everything's there. But the hearing is there. Is that okay? My experiences while chanting, I experienced that I commit all 10 of the offenses while chanting. Literally, 7 days and nights. Saptaratram. After 7 nights, you'll see this. Yeah, it's hard to have 7 nights without 7 days. So, yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, we'll take our 10-minute break and then come back and continue. Now we're at 12 o'clock and we'll see you in 10 minutes. I'm okay if I it'd be too much for me right now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Shaptamodhyaya, Sri Bhagavan Vasya, Maya Satyamana Parasa, Yogam Yunjan Marasayaha, Asamsayam Samagam Mam Yata Gyasasi Tatsanu, Gyanam Teham Savijyanam, Yudam Bhaktam Yase Sataha, Yad Gyatva Neha Puram Yad, Gyatavyam Mavishishtate, Manusyanam Sahasreshu, Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye, Yatatamapi Siddhanam Kaschinam Deti Tatsataha Bhumirapo Nabo Vayu Kamano Bhutirevata Ahankara Iti Amne Jinnna Prakatirastadha Aparayam Nitas Panyam Prakatim Siddhime Param Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yayedam Tharyate Jagat Etajyonini Bhutani Sarvani Kupadharaya Aham Krishnasya Jagata Prabhava Pravayastata Matta Parasaram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Totam Sutre Manigana Iva Rasoham Apsukantaya Prapasmi Sashishuryo Pranava Sarvade Deshu Shabdhate Paurusham Nasu Punyo Gandha Pativyamcha Tejaschasmi vibhavasau Jivanam sarvabhuteshu Tapaschasmi tapasvishu Bijam mam sarvabhutanam Vidhi harta sanatanam Udhir pudimatam asmi Tejas tejasvinamaham Balam balavatam saham Kamadaga vivarjitam Dharma viruddho bhuteshu Tamosmi paratarsapha Ye saiva satrika pava Rajasas tamasastriye Matta eve kitan vidhi Vatvaham te sute mai Sibhir gunamayar bhavar Epi sarvam nidam jagat Mohitam nabhitanati Mamebhya paramabhyayam Daivihe sa gunamayi Mama maya durachaya Mameva ye prapadyante, mayame tam tarantike, namam duskritino mutha, prapadyante naradhama, mayaya pritagyana, asuram bhavamastataha, saturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritinorjana, arto jigyasurartati, jnanisa bhadatarsapha, sesham jnani vishya yukta, Eka bhaktir vishishvate Priyohi jnani nocha tam aham sasha mama priyaha Udara sarva evaite jnani tatma vame matam Astita sahi yuktatma mam ivan uttamam dhatim Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvanishi sa mahatma sudulabaha Kamai saisar sita jnana prapadyante nyadevataha Tam tam niyamamasthaya vasishya niyatasvaya Yo yo yam yam tanam bhakta sadhyarchitum ichyati Tasya tasya chavam sadham tam eva viditam yaham Sataya sataya yuktas tasya radhana nihate Labhate chatata kaman Mayaiva vihitan hitan Antavattu palam tesham Kadpavatyo pametasam Devan devayajo yanti Pakta yanti mamati Avyattam yaktim apannam Manyante mamabuddhaya param param jnanam so amavyayam anuttamam naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha mutoyam nabhijanati loko mamajamavyayam vedaham samatitani vartavarani sarjana tadishyani chabhutani mam tuveda nakashtana Ichchadesa samuttena svantamohena bharata sarvaputani sammoham sargayanti padantapa yesham santatatam papam sananam punyakamanam te dvandvamohanirmurcha padante mam tathapapaha sadamaranamokshaya mamashritya yatantiye Te brahma tad vidhu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakshivam sari bhutari daivam mam sari yagyam saye vidhu prayana kale pichamam te vidhu yukta te tasaha om tat sadati srimad bhagavad gita supanishatsu brahma vidyayam yoga shastre krishnarjuna sambhare vijnana yoga nama saptamodhyayaha Okay, we are back in action, more or less. So Narad Muni is instructing Dhruva Maharaj how to engage in the process of meditation by controlling the mind, fixing the mind on the personal form of the Lord, by meditation on the transcendental sound. He gives Dhruva a mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and the process of installing the form of the Lord and worshipping the Lord, deshakala vibhagavit, with ingredients and so on, prescribed method, according to the time, the place, and the circumstances. Deshakala vibhag. Desha means the country, the place. Kal means the time. And vibhag means the differences. So Prabhupada comments that it's not stereotyped, that everything has to be the same way everywhere for everyone. The person, Acharya, who wants to spread Krishna consciousness has to know how to adjust things according to the particular place and according to the particular circumstances, the time. Everything will be a little different. And Prabhupada comments that what's convenient in India may not be convenient elsewhere. Right now there's a big brouhaha going on in Puri where the Pandas are there. Rah, 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 rah. They're having their Ratha Yatras on the wrong day. And they're all up in arms about it. But they have they can't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. They can sit in Puri and do their whatever it is that they do. But they, in so many hundreds and thousands of years, they haven't spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But someone does it, they can criticize. That they can do. They can't do it, but they can criticize it. That's useless. They should take direction from Srimad Bhagavatam. Panda means learn it. They're called pandas, from pandit. Pandit means a learned person. Panditas samadarshan. So it's supposed to be that the pandas are the learned Brahmins who assist the pilgrims in spiritual realization so that people become advanced in Krishna consciousness by hearing from the pandas, from the learned guides. But in Kali Yuga, so often we find that the pandas simply lead people in some ritualistic ceremonies and have no spiritual knowledge to give, or precious little, even that they're on the bodily platform thinking in terms of foreigners and deshi nationals, or they're thinking in terms of this caste or that caste. In so many ways, they're thinking in terms of the body. Dehatma buddhi kunape tridatute. So that's useless. So the learned pundit, one who's actually learned, should take information from Srimad Bhagavatam. That some adjustment has to be made. Prabhupada gives the example that people, you're supposed to do this ritual with Ganga water or Jamuna water. Where are you going to get Ganga water in Manhattan? Where are you going to get Ganga water in Peking? Where are you going to get Ganga water in Durban and so many places? The Ganga doesn't flow there. So then you have to make an adjustment. Well, any water, just pure water, collect it nicely and use it. Similarly, so many other things may have to be adjusted according to the time and place and circumstances. And the expert acharya knows how to do that to spread Krishna consciousness. But it's not whimsical, on the other hand. Not that just anything and everything goes. We have to make the proper adjustment, taking everything into sober consideration. So the acharya is expert at that. But on the other hand, we should also, do you ever hear this time, place, and circumstance used just like as a thought stopper? It's what's called an argument by, what's the word? Argument by verbal formula. That's basically appeal to verbal formula, where you really don't have an argument, but you throw out a slogan, and that stops. Now you've got it. Somebody says, "Well, Prabhupada didn't really want us mixing men and women very closely, or Prabhupada didn't really want us wearing." Shiva Tilak, or Srila Prabhupada really didn't want us dressing like hippies, or Prabhu. And then, well, time, place, and circumstance, Prabhu. Time, place, and circumstance. And then you're supposed to now talk about whether time, place, and circumstance is a bona fide principle or not. So it's used practically as a thought stopper. Like life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It doesn't really mean anything out of context. But we can't sacrifice the principle for the details. Yeah, okay, but what does that have to do with the topic at hand? Well, nothing. So sometimes you hear this time, place, and circumstance thrown out like it was a flag, and as soon as the flag is raised, everyone has to salute. But it's not like that. You hear it used, and what's the difference in time? Well, no difference. And what's the difference between this place and that place? Well, no significant difference. And what are the circumstances? Same circumstances. But because we want to do something different, we say, well, time, place, and circumstance. As if that's an argument that sort of serves all purposes. You just break it out. And anything is justified because, well, time, place, and circumstance. So that's another foolishness to watch out for, bogus argument. Another thing to note here is the importance of tulsi plants,
Srila Prabhupada mentions the how unhappy he was that there were no tulsi plants available. And one of his disciples, Govinda Dasi, took great care and grew these plants and earned honorable mention in Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know if anyone else, actually, among Prabhupada's disciples, I don't think anyone else gets a personal mention in Srimad Bhagavatam. In all 10 cantos that Prabhupada translated, I don't think any other disciple gets a mention in the purports. But Govindadasi is remembered here by Srila Prabhupada for this service of growing tulsi. So it doesn't mean you have to be a big temple president, GBC man, so many sannyasis, GBC men, big preachers, and none of them are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Govindadasi is mentioned for this service of growing tulsi plant. So we can appreciate that.
Is it that all our temples should have tulsi?
As far as possible.
Should all our homes have tulsi?
That's if you can care for her nicely. If you're just going to keep a tulsi plant neglected on the shelf somewhere and then go to Chicago for 3 weeks and no one's there to see to the seva, that's not good. Not just, therefore Prabhupada said it's not stereotyped. If you can care for the tulsi nicely, then keep tulsi, but not just haphazard. But in Durban, she'll grow nicely. Weather is. Then it's recommended that the devotee can have a form of the Lord, and even in the forest, such a form can be made simply of earth and water. That means mud, basically. You put it together and make yourself a deity. Otherwise, the deity can be fashioned of earth, wood, metal. There are different kinds of jewels. There are different ways in which the deity can be fashioned. And one should engage in the service of the deity and not meditate simply impersonally. The form should be there, the mantra should be there, everything should be there by the direction of the spiritual master. And we should eat the food offered to the deity, not just go running here and there to get nice food. We should offer the deity whatever is available. If possible, we can offer nice food to the deity. Not for our sense gratification, but to satisfy the Lord. Any questions here? Okay. Then the form is there, the sound is there, and the activities also. So one is advised that the Lord has so many different incarnations, and the aspiring devotee can also remember these transcendental forms of the Lord and pastimes of the Lord. But Prabhupada says Narada advises Dhruva to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, which is as good as meditation of concentrating one's mind on the form of the Lord. As meditation on any form of the Lord is valuable, so is chanting of different names of the Lord, such as Hari, Govinda, and Narayan. But in this age, we are especially advised to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, as enunciated in the Shastra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Paricharya bhagavato yavatya purvasevitaha ta mantra hridayena iva prayunjan mantra murtiye. Here that mention is there, mantra murti, that the mantra and the form of the Lord are not different, and that one should worship the mantra or the Lord purvasevita, yavata purvasevita, as recommended or performed by the previous acharyas. Purvasevita, as the previous servants of the Lord, the great acharyas. And by doing this, you'll get everything. The Dhruva Maharaj wanted to get a kingdom. He wanted great profit. So he's told, if you do this devotional service seriously and sincerely, engaging in the Lord's service with body, mind, and words, then the Lord will grant you all desires. Everything you might want from dharmartha kama and moksha, you'll get by devotional service. Devotional service automatically is followed by liberation, or accompanied by liberation, and everything else we might wish. If one is serious about liberation, he should engage in service constantly, nirantara bhavena, always in ecstasy, and be detached from sense gratification. So Dhruva did all this, followed the process, and now Narad Muni is thinking about the king. He's taken care of Dhruva Maharaj. He's got him started, given him instructions on how to achieve his desire. And now Narada Muni is thinking about the king and what's going on with the king. The king is in, as we'll find, in great anxiety. So Narada Muni goes there and sees that the king's in anxiety. How can he see? Yeah, face is the index of mind. Face is the index of mind. He sees the face of the king all withered up and says, what's going on with you? Has your progress in economic development and religious principles and sense gratification been disrupted? Things are not going well? And what's wrong? So the king tells him that I've banished my son. I've cast him out. He's gone. He felt that he couldn't stay any longer in the palace, so he's practically, I've driven him out. And why? Because I'm so addicted to my wife. I'm so attached to this Suruchi, to this wife, that I've neglected my other wife, I've neglected my son, and he's gone out into the forest. He must be starving there, and there are wolves and jackals who are also hungry, and he's just a tender little boy, so they may be circling him and moving in for the kill. So he's now feeling very sorry that I was practically conquered by my wife. And on that account, I've been so cruel to my son. So that expression is there. The indication here is that one should not be controlled by one's wife. Otherwise, it may not be very good. And particularly if the wife is like Suruchi. So Narada Muni says that
No need to worry. Actually, your son is doing fine. He's protected by the personality of Godhead. He's protected by the personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada comments that anyone who's fully engaged in the service of the Lord can go anywhere, and he'll always be protected by Krishna. The Prabhupada is speaking, of course, from realized experience, that he went out into the middle of worse than nowhere with nothing and no mundane source of security, and Krishna was always there to protect him. So this was his practical experience. Prabhupada said, people like my purports because there's realization there. It's practical. It's not, you read so many mundane or academic books, it appears that But Prabhupada's speaking from the actual experience of what Narad Muni is saying, what the Acharyas are saying. So there's so much value in Prabhupada's writing. So Narad Muni says, you don't know, but actually his reputation is spread everywhere. And he's performing activities that even great kings and sages would not be able to perform. And your reputation will also spread. That's the, what is it said? Chanakya Pandit says that there's one fragrant flower in the forest, then the whole forest becomes fragrant. And similarly, if there's one good son in the family, then he spreads the reputation of the whole family. So practically speaking, Uttanapada might have just been lost in history as one of the sons of Manu. There's so many. Number 12 was this one, number 13 was that one. But he is remembered because he became the father of Dhruva Maharaj, who was such a great devotee. And if there's one bad son, that also, it's like a fire in a tree. It can burn down the whole forest. So that indication is there. The real fame means to be famous as a devotee. So it's very fortunate if one can have a son like Dhruva Maharaj. So, yes. So after hearing about all this from Narad Muni, the king practically gave up his engagement in royal affairs, and he was simply thinking of Dhruva. And then there's a scene switch. It's interesting to see how the scenes are switching here. Sometimes it's with Narad Muni, and sometimes it's with the king. Now it's going back to Madhuvan. And Dhruva Maharaj is there. He's observing, fasting into the night, and he's following the instructions of Narada Muni in worshiping the Lord, Rishyade Shena. As advised by Narada Muni, he's engaging in service. And Prabhupada makes this a very strong point here, that the most significant point was that Dhruva Maharaj followed the instructions of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said that should be our only concern, how to execute the order of the spiritual master. The spiritual master gives appropriate instructions, and the disciple just has to follow. Just has to follow, making those instructions his life and soul. Then the disciple can attain success in spiritual life. That also is Prabhupada's realized experience, that he just followed the instructions of his spiritual master and became successful. Any other questions so far? Okay. Now we get the progress of the account of his progress in practicing austerities. For the first month, he ate only fruits and berries every third day. just to keep body and soul together. So that means he's performing serious penances in our stead. Imagine we told you that you had, you know, even if we told you that every third day you could eat some roots and berries, or if we even advertised that MIHE, every third day there'll be roots and berries. And that's it, because we want to make quick advancement in devotional service. It would not be such a well-attended program. So Dhruva Maharaj did that. Generally, eating is a high point in our day. We look forward to eating something. And Dhruva Maharaj gave it up. Just some roots and berries, and it's described the kind of berries that the monkeys eat, practically inedible almost, unpalatable. So he was undergoing severe tapasya. And Prabhupada's point in the purport, this purport and several purports in this section, focuses on the importance of following the regulative principles and not disregarding the regulative principles. It's not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaj in his austerity, but the principles must be followed. We should not disregard the regulative principles given by our spiritual master. And then he talks about the four regulative principles and the chanting of 16 rounds and taking simple prasadam. So he's very concerned here. And this also was his practical experience, that he saw that disciples would get in trouble because they would ignore the regulative principles. They would think that I don't have to chant, or I can break this rule or that rule, it won't be so bad. And they would fall down. So Prabhupada's emphasizing again and again that we should follow these regulative principles. We should not neglect them. Chant 16 rounds a day, follow these four regulative principles strictly. Prabhupada said, you do that, you'll go back to Godhead. So that should be, sometimes we hear that if Prabhupada were present today, he would be telling us all sorts of advanced and esoteric or intimate or confidential things that we were not eligible to hear about years ago. My personal view is that if Prabhupada were here now, we would be hearing again and again about following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds a day. That's my personal conviction, because I don't see that now everyone is so advanced that we're all way up there in purity and eligibility for understanding much higher topics. Rather, we need to hear about strictly following the four regulative principles of chanting 16 rounds a day. That's what I see. Which is not to say that that's all we hear, that there are no other topics, that Krishna Katha just consists of four regulative principles, 16 rounds, four regulative principles, 16 rounds. But I'm quite positive that if Srila Prabhupada were with us today, we would be hearing a lot about 16 rounds and four regulative principles. And we are hearing it in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Second month, only every 6 days, and now it's just dry leaves and grass. Third month, water every 9 days. That's it. And he's completely absorbed in thinking of Krishna. We were talking about Ashtanga Yoga. Well, why not do Ashtanga Yoga? Well, sure. How would you like to live on dry leaves and grass? And then after that, graduate to water every 9 days. And then after that, fourth month, air. Every 12th day. He'd inhale air only every 12th day. This is the level of austerity that people could follow. This is Satya Yuga. They could do such things. And we're going to practice yoga in Kali Yuga in so many ways. Fifth month, so controlled that he could stand on one leg, motionless, and completely focus his mind on Parabrahma, the Absolute, the Personality of Godhead. Completely controlled the senses, fixed his mind. No diversion of the mind to anything else but the form of the Lord. And the result of this is that he captured the personality of Godhead within his heart. And this may be very difficult to conceive. We read here that he became so powerful that he became as heavy as the whole Mahatattva. He became practically identical with the Mahatattva, or with the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So that when he was closing the doors of his body and stopping his breathing, the whole universe got stopped up. And practically the demigods were complaining. We're all suffocating. We don't know what's going on, but we're all suffocating. What's happened? They're going to the Lord. What's happening here? We're all suffocating. Okay? And it's described the pressure of his big toe pushed down half the earth. It's like an elephant when he gets on a boat. Half the boat goes down. So he was so powerful that the earth was being pushed down. Just he's standing there on one leg, and with one toe, it's got so much power that the earth is being pushed down. And Prabhupada points out that he was just a king's son. He was a kid. His stepmother insulted him and drove him out. Just a lady had more power than he did. And now he's so powerful that half the earth can be pushed down. And his heaviness became equal to the total heaviness. His breathing became equal to the total breathing. And Prabhupada gives a rough example, that when you're in an airplane, then you have the same velocity as the airplane. All the people sitting on the plane have the same velocity. Even though they're all individuals, they share in the speed of the plane. So in the same way, when Dhruva Maharaj had the Lord in his heart, he became practically equal to the Lord in power. He wasn't the Lord, he didn't become the Lord, but he became identified with the Lord in that way. And Prabhupada comments here that similarly, in the preaching of Krishna consciousness, when a devotee is fully absorbed in chanting of the holy name and serving the Lord, then he can do wonderful things. And from his own experience again, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness if there's only one pure devotee. So Prabhupada had that, we had that experience, that Prabhupada was one person, and by his purity of Krishna consciousness, he had so much power. People are impressed by mystic powers, by some yoga tricks. I have a series of videos somebody gave me of one big Baba performing marvelous tricks, and everybody goes, oh. They were so impressed. And of course, it's all... I have a devotee friend who's a magician,
And the devotee said, he's not even a good magician. A good magician is one who can do these tricks and you can't figure out how he's doing them. And a not so good magician, you know, you see how he's holding the card between his fingers or whatever it is. You see how he's doing the trick. He's not a very good magician. So devotees say, he's not even a good magician. What to speak of being an incarnation of God? Not even a good magician. But even if there are some yogis who can do such magical things, who have some power, so what? And people, if they'd ask, do you have mystic powers or can you... So then Prabhupada said, this is the thing, that we can turn non-devotees into devotees of Krishna. And what kind of non-devotees, particularly those who are coming from the Western backgrounds or from the lower strata, Kirata Hunandra, Palinda Pulkasha, Pira Shambha. And Prabhupada comments on this also with reference to Vira Raghavacharya, that he says that even those who are less than Shudras, with a little adjustment, they can also be engaged and initiated in devotional service. And there are extensive quotations about that in the Nectar of Devotion, establishing this basic principle of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, that anyone from any part of the world, under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, can be engaged in the process. Some adjustment, some adaptation of the basic of the application of Krishna consciousness to make it suit the time, the place, the people. Prabhupada said, old wine in a new bottle. The substance should not be changed. The substance has to be there. But the outward form may be adjusted. So Prabhupada saw that. Well, and we see, again, these opposite people can't do anything but criticize. They can't do anything but criticize. But Prabhupada actually showed the power of a pure devotee in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So the demigods approach the Lord. This is the problem, that we're all suffocating. We don't know why. All of a sudden we can't breathe. And the Lord reassured them that, don't worry, it's just Dhruva Maharaj, and he's a devotee, so he won't suffocate you. Don't worry. And so the demigods were reassured that you can go home and I'll see to it that he stops his austerities. That means the Lord is going to go personally to meet Dhruva Maharaj and fulfill his desires. What questions? Mitta bhuk is one of the qualities of a devotee. He eats as much as required. Even for health, that's practical. If you eat more than you can eat, you'll get sick. You'll slow down. You'll have big doctor bills. You'll have all sorts of problems because you're overloading your system with more than it
not only more than it needs, but more than it can handle. And that's a big problem. In the Western country, now I'm seeing somebody was telling me that just the number of obese children in the Western countries is just off the charts all of a sudden. They're just fat, because the children are overeating. They're not, first of all, the food is crazy, and then they're not given any instruction about controlling the senses. Controlling the senses is, what school do you go to where they talk about controlling the senses? What television shows talk about controlling the senses? Where do you get controlling? It's like a value, a foreign value, controlling the senses. Indulging the senses, satisfying the senses, pleasing the senses, making yourself happy. That's civilization. Civilization means to come up with different ways to satisfy the senses. And so you get these children who are just fat, what to speak of adults. And they're carrying around extra weight and getting sick. And apart from that, they can't control their senses. They're eating too much, and then the other senses also go uncontrolled. So for a devotee, controlling the eating is important. Not fanatically. We're not Dhruva Maharaj. We're not going to live on roots and berries. But if we simply become addicted to eating nice food, there's some quotation in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, I think, that anyone who becomes a servant of his tongue, running here and there to eat nice food, can never obtain Krishna. He'll never get Krishna. He'll get maybe some nice food, but he won't get Krishna. Why? He's servant of the tongue. So in the beginning, we just say, chant Hare Krishna. We don't say anything about offenses, no offenses. Just chant. In the beginning, just eat. Eat, eat, and eat. 2 chapatis, 4 chapatis, 12 chapatis, 20 chapatis. But then someone inquires, now, how can I make further progress in devotional service? So then, yes, don't eat and simply nice eating and satisfying the tongue and becoming uncontrolled. Danta gobhi vishatam tamisham. Controlling the senses. So not too little. That's also not good. And not too much. Anashnatastu yogosti. What is that? Natyanashnatastu yogosti naichaikantam anashnataha vichati svapnashilasya jagrato naivacharjana. Nati anashnatas, and anashnata. If you eat too much or eat too little, you can't be a yogi. Dhruva Maharaj could eat so little, but it was within his capability. If we try to eat like that, we'll be unfit for devotional service. And if we eat too much, we'll be unfit for devotional service. If we sleep too much, and if we sleep too little. So one can't become a yogi. Not yanashnatastu yogosti na chaikantam anashnataha na chati swapna shilasya jagrato naivacharya. So regulated yuktahara viharasya. Regulated in eating, regulated in sleeping, regulated. And it may differ from person to person. Someone needs more food. Someone needs less food. Someone needs more sleep. Someone needs less food. So, as required, but not more than required. Even some of our Indian friends were saying, because they would come to the temples, and there's always halava and sweet rice and all of these things. And they're saying, how can you people live like this? We have these things also in some wedding or some occasion. But you're taking these things every day. How can you live? A steady diet of halavas and pakoras and sweet rice and all of those things. You can't, therefore, rice, Prabhupada told me personally, rice, dal, little sabji, some chapatis, and you'll keep good health. Keep good health. Simple food in the mode of goodness, not too much, not too little, you'll be healthy. But if you live every day with sweet rice and halava and pakoras and jalebis and this and that, you must get sick. You must get sick. So everything, and apart from that, how will you focus your mind? So if your mind is, if you eat too much, you go to sleep, you can't think of Krishna. And if you eat too little, you just think about how starving you are. So everything regulated. Is that okay? What else? Yes. Loud. Yes. Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate. The whole world becomes joyful for a devotee because Krishna is everywhere. Vishva means the world, the universe. And Purna, full. Sukhayate. Becomes full of happiness. Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna consciousness. I can tad virya gayana mahamrita mangita. I can go anywhere and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Anywhere in the world. That's the idea. Something else? Okay. Okay, we're 4 minutes early. You get 4 extra minutes today to do something of your choice. And we'll see you here tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.